That is Peter, Paul, and Mary performing at the Newport Folk Festival in 1963, doing Pete Seeger's classic song, If I Had a Hammer. We lost Pete about a week and a half ago at age 94, and I play that Peter, Paul, and Mary cut for you because we've asked Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary to join me here today and talk a little bit about a man who was a big influence on his life and a friend as well. Welcome to America Weekend.
It's my pleasure to be with you, my friend. So thank you for having me on your show. And it's, of course, particularly pointed because now we have, as you've noted, lost Pete. But we rejoice in what he has shared with us and given us. And he was, as you note, really the role model and the hero of people like me who understood from him how you could take your music and not just think of it as entertainment or an art form, but as a mobilizing force. And that became really the MO of Peter, Paul, and Mary all these years, and is still mine.
I mentioned that performance of the Newport Folk Festival. Pete Seeger actually was one of the people who founded that festival, wasn't he?
Well, I was on the founding board with Pete. We shared many, many histories together. There were wonderful people on the board. You know, Theodore Bickel was on the board. Later, Judy Collins was on the board. But we all believed that this music, if we could give it the kind of highlight that Newport gave it, would be very important in terms of energizing those people who heard it. We didn't at the time have the full sense of how dramatically that music would really dominate the charts and radio for a few years prior to the Beatles becoming so phenomenally popular. But the folk music had its effect, not just in terms of music being heard, but in terms of connecting people in their hearts. And many, many people to whom I've spoken said, well, that was the sound of my consciousness, of my life that grew up to be an activist, a person who was involved in to make the world a better place.
Well, it certainly was a big soundtrack of my life when I was a little kid, 8 years old, learning to play the guitar. You know, some of the first songs I learned were Pete Seeger songs, and of course I knew your music as well. And then later on, when I became a father, and you and Paul and Mary put out Peter, Paul, and Mommy 2, that album became a huge hit, and my daughter can still sing those songs from heart. I know that you were with Pete the day before he died, and you weren't alone in that room, that there were other people there. Can you share with my audience what was happening in that room with Pete?
Well, actually, it was the day that he passed.
Oh.
I had come from the Tel Aviv. I was working on peace efforts in the Middle East, which are very, very exciting. John Kerry, our Secretary of State, is doing amazing work, and I'm trying to bring a people-to-people cultural component to that so that there's a bridge between Palestinians and Israelis. But that's a whole other story. In any event, when I was at the Tel Aviv airport, not long before I got on the flight, Titama, Pete's grandson, gave me a call and said, we don't think Pete has more than a couple of days. So can you come? And I said, well, I'm in Tel Aviv, but when I get off the plane in the morning, I'm coming right to the hospital, which is what I did. And when I got there, when I got to New York, Katama texted me. He said, bring your guitar. Pete wants singing around him. It's the only thing that, not the only thing, it's the thing that he responds to most. So I brought my guitar, and when I walked in the room, There were about 8 or 10 people there. A lot of some of his family, Katama and his daughter Tina, and people from the sloop, you know, the Hudson River sloop. That's part of the that whole effort that he started, the Clearwater effort that has a festival. And I took out my guitar, and there was somebody singing to him beautifully, and I walked up and I started singing, We shall not be moved. We shall not be moved, just like a tree that's standing by the water. We shall not be moved. The union is behind us. We shall, it was an old union song, and then it says, young and old together, and then black and white together. And as I sang, everybody knew this song. Everybody who was there, and they all knew this song, came and we started singing together. And it was gentle, but it was very affirmative. And we continued singing for an hour and a half. And it was so magical, it's very hard to describe, because there were a lot of tears, but there was a sense of celebration. And Pete, we could tell, well, we thought, you know, we know that he was reaching for oxygen. He had an oxygen mask, you know, plastic, that went from the top of his lips to his neck. It seemed like he was trying to sing along, which may indeed have been the case. He always liked to sing along. But there's no doubt that the music was very, very much around him, and it surrounded us. And instead of our being in a kind of a dank, sad hospital room with machines attached to Peter and, you know, the ICU kind of connection, we were just glorying in this wonderful, beautiful time that we shared together. And on his right, there was one of the folks there who was a wonderful singer. Everybody was really good singer, and particularly they all had, not they all, but a number of them had their guitars. And we were all playing and singing. It reminded me of some of the most beautiful moments I've shared with Peter, Paul, and Mary, when we were just sometimes performing, but sometimes even just rehearsing, when everything was just clicking and we were feeling the joy and the beauty of what we were sharing. And it was as if the room was filled with love, with such heart. Well, at the end of that, I kissed Pete on the forehead, and I said, I love you, Pete. And you've been my inspiration my whole life. And then I said, oh, well, almost my whole life, remembering that I was, at a certain point, 3 months old, and I hadn't heard his songs yet. And then I went out, and then and that must have been about 1 o'clock, and then I got a message at sometime around 8 o'clock that Pete had passed.
Well, I'm so happy that you were able to have that experience, and not only have that experience for you, but for everyone in that room, and you could fill the room for Pete one last time with music, because it was such an important part of his life, and he and you have been an important part of so many people's lives. Peter Yarrow, thanks so much for sharing that memory with me here today.
Oh, well, it's an honor and a pleasure. Paul Harris, oh man.